I'm excited about this episode. This is the Peters family reunion episode. So it's my mom, my brother, and myself sitting in my hotel room in Toronto, and we had a good time. We tried to dig to the bottom of family roots. We didn't get as far as we wanted to, but it's fun. I mean, if you ever wanted to know what it's like sitting around with my mom and my brother and myself and what we talk about, this is your opportunity to eavesdrop on my family, you nosy bastards.
What should we talk about?
We can talk about anything we want to talk about.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome to Culturally Canceled with Russell Peters. I'm Russell Peters in the very slouchy position. This is what I've decided to sit in and what I've decided to wear. We're in my hotel room in Toronto. I got my mom, Mama P, and my brother, Toots. And we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where this is going to go. So, you know, it could go sideways in a matter of minutes, to be honest with you. I mean, right, Mo?
It could. It could go up and down, too.
All right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Between the black mic and going up and down?
Yeah.
And sideways.
Yeah. Sideways. Anyway, we'll do.
Backwards?
Anyway, we'll do.
Wow.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
All right. So mom's here, guys, in case anybody's wondering who the loot nick in the background is. That's mom. So my brother's here, and I haven't seen him in a year, over a year.
Yeah.
I've spent the last 4.5 months with my mom, so that's nice. But usually my brother's the one that gets to commandeer mom all the time. So it was nice to have the old bag with us for a little while, you know?
You and Crazy Pants together again?
Yeah.
Yes.
The twins?
Yes.
The twins,
yes,
as I call them?
We are the same.
Yes.
They are the twins.
We are the same. It's a sad truth, folks.
Well,
what have you been doing, Jug?
It cannot be the same.
Huh? That's right. Did you have fun back in the West Coast, Mom?
I did. I enjoyed myself. I had a really good time.
Yeah.
Especially in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were headlining at the Spearmint Rhino one weekend. That was nice.
Put your hands together, gentlemen.
All right, fellas, $20 is all it takes.
Yuck.
Coming to the floor. Mow the hoe.
That's what happens when you have two crazy sons. Not just one.
That's a fact.
So what'd you do, Ma? We quarantined. We both quarantined separately.
Yes. And I did. My neighbors bring food to my door, leave it at my door and run away. And I would sit all day in the sunroom doing my needlepoint, which I'm trying to finish for my Chrissy.
So what happened to the needlepoint that you started in LA?
It's still there. It's waiting for me to come back sometime in the future. Then I'll finish it.
But there's only like a little patch left, isn't there?
No, I need thread. In the meantime, I'm doing a small one for Chrissy, which you will be taking back.
Okay.
Which I will finish by maybe tomorrow or the day after.
What's it a needlepoint of?
It's a cat. It's a black cat with green eyes and all kinds of pretty sayings around it.
What kind of sayings?
Like queen, purr, queen.
Queen,
can't remember.
Queen, purr,
that's
queen.
That's most of the things it says, yeah.
Well, you said all kinds. It's just one,
no, and
two.
Then it says something like love.
That's not really a saying, by the way. Those are just those are just words, Ma.
Yeah, but that's what it says on this canvas.
I'm like,
how was it staying with brother all winter?
It was much nicer than the other years, especially nicer than last year. And I had a nice time. I enjoyed it with Chrissy. I enjoyed whatever little time we had with Chumpy, even though Chumpy was clinging to Daddy all the time.
Well, he's a daddy's boy. You know, he misses me.
But it was a nice 4.5 months. But I couldn't wait to get back home.
It's true. She was chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Chomping.
Towards the end, I wanted to come home badly. And now I'm happy to be home.
And now you're also off quarantine. I'm
off quarantine, but I still can't go anywhere because I don't drive.
You say it like that's new information.
Yeah, that's wow. When did you stop driving?
When did you stop driving? What was it that made you give up your license?
I stopped driving when they took my license away.
Mom has never driven.
But yeah. I've never driven.
Just for the record.
Mom had a learner's permit, and she waited until the last day to go for a license, then she crashed into a wall.
No, I didn't crash into a wall.
The wall crashed into you?
No, I just thought I saw a truck coming and hit the little bank. I didn't crash it. I just tipped it and they failed me. And I didn't go back. And I'm not sorry now that we have Uber.
Well, that only, well, that was 1980. What year was that one? 1986 or something?
No, 1982.
1982. So, I mean, 40, you waited 40 years. Later. 40 years to get this Uber going.
40 years later, there
but
was Uber.
But I didn't need an Uber then. I had my friends.
Well, you also had Dad, Mom.
Dad.
I had Dad.
More importantly, you had Dad.
Then 17 years later, I have all my friends around me who take me out. So there you go.
Oh, you mean 17 years after Dad.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
It's been 17 years since our dad died.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just to be clear,
yeah,
for the show.
Yeah, because otherwise, no, they didn't start driving my mom around in 1999.
Well, I have a license to drive everybody up the wall, so that's
okay. 17 years.
Huh?
To drive
after
everybody.
82 is 99.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 99 till now.
No.
Yeah, okay.
This is the problem when we get together. We all have our own conversations in our head. Mom will be literally talking about one thing, and then it'll be like, you know, I got to go to Walmart and get some baking soda. Oh, Russ, remember your friend that died? Yeah. I thought this has something to do with baking soda. Yeah, I thought of him the other day. I'm wow. Like, what the hell?
So I got new information from Mom a few months ago about where our grandmother's from. Did you know this?
This is Mom's mom.
Mom's mom.
Where's mom's mom from?
Mom's
grandma.
Mom's grandma.
So our great grandmother.
So who's from Assam?
Not Assam. My great grandmother apparently was from the tea gardens. I don't know who she was.
But that was in Assam.
I think it was in Assam at the tea estate.
So that was your grandmother's mother?
My great grandmother.
Yeah. So that'd be your grandmother's mother.
Yeah.
You never met her?
No. No. I never met her. I never met my grandmother's brothers. My grandmother had two brothers.
Really? You never met them?
No.
Where were they?
One died and then one...
He's harder to meet.
Idiot.
One was going to become a priest and then he left to look after his two sisters. And then that was it. I never saw them.
Yeah.
I don't know who they were.
So you never even met the priest one?
No.
What happened? Did he ever become a priest?
He never became a priest. No. He never became a priest.
He wasn't in Calcutta?
Yeah, they were all in Calcutta.
And he never met his grandniece?
Because he died. He died in the meantime. He died young.
In the meantime, I'm just going to die.
No, you know.
Let's just write this guy out of the movie right now. He died.
In the meantime, this guy dies. Waiting to become a priest.
Wow. He got very sick and he died. And that left my granny and her sister. That's it.
Did you meet her sister?
Yeah. Oh. Auntie Gertie, you met her too.
Oh yeah, Auntie Gertie. Oh,
right. Yeah, Uncle John's mom.
Right. Oh, that's who Auntie Gertie was.
Yeah, my granny's sister.
Gertie. Gertie. Yeah.
You met her.
Yeah. Gertrude. That was Auntie Gertrude.
Gertrude. Yeah.
And what was Grandma's name?
Jessica.
Jessica. It's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
That name seems ahead of its time. Then.
Yeah. Jessie.
Gertrude's like right in line with that time.
Gertie. Auntie Gertie.
Thank God, Grandma got the good name, huh? Grandma got to go to Grandma Gertie's.
I got the name from Maureen O'Hara.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh.
She like Gone with the Wind?
Because my mother was a great fan of Maureen O'Hara. So I got her name, and my brother Morris got his name from Maurice Chevalier.
Wow.
And what about Uncle Roger?
I don't know where he got his name from.
Maybe they had a walkie-talkie? Roger.
He got Roger.
By the guy that wanted to be a priest.
Who died.
Yeah. Uncle Roger. Dear old Uncle Roger.
And what about on your dad's side? Did you know any of his? Oh, yeah, you did.
No, I didn't meet my grandparents on my dad's side.
No, not grandparents, but...
aunties.
Yeah. His sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, you never met your dad's parents?
Mm-mm.
Were they alive?
No.
Oh, when did they croak?
They croaked when they had to go.
They gotta go.
No, but like they died before you were born?
I guess so.
But you were like your dad.
How much older
was your dad than grandma and then Nana?
6 years?
I don't know.
My mommy was 15. No, you're asking me. I'm telling you. Six years.
Yeah, okay. 6 years. Okay.
Mommy was 15. Daddy was 21.
It's illegal today, folks.
Yep. By the time she was 17, she had my brother and me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Nana got busy, son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did she ever?
Wow, 15.
Yep.
How old was she when she got 14 when she got pregnant, right?
15.
That's when she had Uncle... When's Uncle Morris's birthday?
December the 23rd.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, she...
And my mommy's birthday is December the 24th, and I came along December the 6th the following year.
So she was 15... Wait.
By the time she was 17, she had two babies.
By the time she had Uncle Moore, she was 16?
Yep.
Oh, she had just turned 16 the day before, or day after he got born. Oh, wow. So she got knocked up at 15.
We are some whiskey tango mother...
We are. Wow.
We are some good hillbilly stock.
I'll tell you what, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did Nana meet your dad? Do you know?
Your mom.
How did she meet your dad?
My father. Yeah. They lived on the same street. All the families lived on the same street. So everybody knew everybody. And my mother was 8 years old. And she said when she was 8 years old, she fell in love with my father. Now, what 8 year old girl knows about that? But she did.
And he was 14.
Yep. And she was determined she was going to marry him.
And she was determined.
Well, I'd say so.
And then she did.
She used it well.
Wow. Yep.
Shoot your shot. Mm-hmm.
And how long were they married for?
17 years.
That's not too bad.
17 years.
So she was like 32 when they broke up. Mm-hmm. That's not too bad.
And he was not a great guy.
No, he wasn't that he wasn't a great guy. He just, you know, things happen. He wasn't a bad guy as everybody thinks he wasn't that. He was just a guy. He had 17 years. He gave up a young life. And then he married a woman who was the neighbor.
Still everybody on the street.
No, everybody in the building, not street. Mm. By this time, they had all moved. Everybody had moved. Everybody went their own ways. But the street was all full of Anglo-Indians.
This is in Calcutta. Mm-hmm. Was that Free School Street?
Temple Street.
And you guys all lived on the same street?
Yep. No, my mommy and daddy lived where I was born in Ganesh Chandra Avenue, but my granny lived in Temple Street. My mommy was brought up in Temple Street. My daddy was brought up in Temple Street.
And you never met his parents? How old was he when they died?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I have absolutely no
You don't know anything
no
about
idea.
This guy?
All I know is my grandfather was a chief boiler maker on the railway.
What was
That's
his name?
All I know. Hmm? Albert.
Albert.
Albert Wake.
No, he was Anglo-Indian?
He was Anglo-Indian.
Well, a name like Albert Wake, I would think so.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother's name was Ivy.
No, but your grandmother on your mom's side, her father was what, English?
I don't know, English, Scottish.
White.
White, but yeah.
From the
Robertson,
United,
yeah.
From the United Kingdom.
Her maiden name was Robertson.
Oh.
Till he died.
And then your grandmother raised you because your mom
my grandmother raised me.
Was so young.
Yeah.
Yes, she raised me till I had you.
Wait, how old was your grandmother when she had Nana then?
I have no idea.
How old was your grandmother?
We never discussed those things at home.
Well, let's do the math. How old was she when she passed?
I don't know, because I was here.
When your grandmother passed?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Daddy went home in 1967. And my grandmother died in 1967 or 68. 67.
But she got to meet brother.
My grandmother? Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. She spoiled him rotten.
That's the reason.
She spoiled him
rotten. That's what it was.
Her first great-grandchild. She never thought she'd have one or see one.
Really, little did she know the great one was coming 6 years later.
Really, at the rate that they were popping them out down there, she could have actually done the math and figured that she would have seen me.
No.
Given that her daughter was 15 when she started.
I mean, I have a friend who's 53 and he's a great-grandfather.
Yeah, my mother was a great. My mother was
a great grandfather at 51.
No, my Who's mother that? Was a great.
Michael Jai White.
That's crazy.
Yeah, great.
My mom was a grandmother crazy. At 39.
Your mom was a grandmother at 39?
39, almost 40, yeah.
Oh, that was with him?
Mm-hmm.
That was me.
Oh, yeah, because because you were 22, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is good stuff.
See, not 15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 22.
22.
Yeah. 22, yeah. And our dad was 16 years older than he.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I loved him.
Yeah, so did we.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
We're big fans.
Big fans, hashtag.
It wasn't an arranged marriage like everybody thinks. It was a love marriage. 16 years was nothing.
And they thought that you guys would have trouble
because
he was...
of the age difference.
No, I thought you said it was because he was Anglican and you were Catholic.
Yeah, that's what I remember hearing. Yeah.
No, we didn't. That wasn't the reason. The reason was the age difference. Everybody thought that...
I remember this story the other way.
No,
everybody thought because he was so much older than me. Religion never came into it. We got married in the Catholic Church. We baptized you guys in the Catholic Church. And then whatever, we followed each other's religion. We didn't make any bones about it.
That's a different version than what I've heard, but okay.
I heard the same version brother heard.
Yeah.
From who?
From you.
No. We never had religion problems.
No, you guys didn't, but other people did.
No, you said that's what the talk was, that they said.
The talk was she's marrying her father. That was what the talk was, because he was so much older than me. That was what the talk was, actually.
Yeah, he was only a year younger than Nana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. There were some daddy issues, mm-hmm. obviously.
No, there wasn't daddy issues. He wasn't my daddy. He was my baby.
Wow.
Baby daddy.
Baby daddy.
That's just my baby daddy.
My baby daddy to do. Now, see, if I had three Russell, you would have been in the middle. And then you would have said, oh, I was the neglected one because I was in the middle.
I'm the youngest one, so I was the neglected one.
I was in the middle, and I always felt neglected, but I really wasn't with my grandmother.
Oh, there you go.
You know what's funny is mom pulls the mic away to talk and then puts it back when she's done talking.
Yeah, I know.
No, you're doing
just
wrong.
Just keep it right there in front of you.
So when you talk, you keep it here. And then when you're not talking.
I know, but I'm not used to these things in front of my face.
I know. Dad's been gone 17 years.
17 years.
It never went in front of my face.
All right. Check, please. Check. We're done here. No. And how did you meet Dad?
I met Dad. It's a long story, but I met Dad through a friend.
Which friend?
Renee Butler.
What was Renee short for? Irene?
No. She calls herself Renee, but we know her as Renee.
Oh, yeah. Renee makes more sense.
My name is Renee. Okay,
well,
Renee.
Well, it's technically more correct than Renee.
No, everybody knew her as Renee, but now when she went to England, she became Renee.
Oh, I see.
You mean where they learned know how to say the name properly?
Where they speak English? Were they with the French name?
Yeah. Remember that guy Cecil?
Yeah, the guy came to visit. God,
don't even talk about that guy.
And then what did he call himself? Cecil?
Cecil. My name is not Cecil, it's Cecil. And it's not Montreal, it's Montreal.
Oh, yeah, it was one of those
pretty
guys.
Eccentric, that guy.
I remember he came to visit.
It's not a light, it's a chandelier. Oh my God, shut up, man.
Remember when he came? I remember when I was a kid and I go, this guy's a dick, dude.
Yeah.
Everything you said, he corrected your English and your pronunciation.
New verses of Amazing Grace that he had written and submitted to the royal family and things like that. He was out there, man.
Oh, yeah.
How did Dad know him from school?
Dad knew him from Calcutta.
Oh, okay. So when you met Dad, you were taken right away? Yeah.
When I met Dad?
Yeah, you got... Got to get me some of this action. What was it?
No. We would go out. We would go out. We would discuss all kinds of stuff. And then.
Like?
You know, what do you think of marriage? Would you like to have kids? Would you go to England to live? I said, no. So we got married. And then the next question came. Let's go to England. Do you want to go to England? I said, nope. Let's get divorced. Because I am going to England. I did tell Dad that.
And why didn't you want to go to England?
I didn't like England. Even then, I didn't like England. And I don't like it now, and I didn't like it then.
For all our listeners in England, we apologize.
I love England.
Cobblestones, gaslights, fog, unfriendly people. That was my thing of England, so I didn't want to go. And then when Dad said, let's go to Canada, I said, okay. And he said, you know, Canada's cold. I said, I don't care. Let's go to Canada. We can handle it.
And when you guys came here in 1965,
Dad hated it. He hated it till he went to India and came back by himself.
Right. He was homesick, right?
No, he was homesick. He missed his father. He just wanted to go back. He just wasn't happy here at all. So in 1967, Air India had a plan. Fly now, pay later.
Really?
Yeah. For $300.
That seems expensive.
And we had no money. We had no money to put down. So Dad goes, he flies now, pays later. He went home supposedly for a month and came back within less than 2 weeks. And when I opened the door and I saw him, I said, what happened? And he said, this is my home from now. I cannot go back and live.
It was too dirty, too chaotic.
No, too chaotic, I think it was.
But he got to see his dad, right?
He got and to see you dad, weren't there. He got to see my grandmother. He got to see my mother. Mm-hmm.
And you weren't there and brother wasn't there. No, so.
And that was the last thing my grandmother asked him was, where's my granddaughter? Why didn't you bring her?
And he said?
Well, he just said he just came to see his parents. So he came to see them.
And they were in Burhanpur then?
And then she died. And then she died after. I think he saw her in April. He went in February or March. And then in April, she got sick. May she died.
What'd she get sick of? With?
She had edema. She had edema. Right.
What's edema?
A body buildup with fluid.
Oh.
And a heart.
That's how you have to use the mic.
No, he's not here.
Mike, in front of your face, Mo.
Mike. There you go.
Not ice cream, Mike. If you hold it like this and you tilt your head to it, it'll go right.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Your voice goes right into it.
Look at it.
Well, you're trying to put it in your mouth. Keep it out of your mouth, first of all, Grandma.
Wow. So wrong.
Those were the good days.
When Grandma died?
No. When we came to Canada first, those were the good days.
What was the first job you had in Canada?
What was the first job I had in Canada?
Yeah.
A babysitting job. I babysat two kids who came home after school.
And where was that, in Rockcliffe?
Rockcliffe Boulevard. How long does this interview take?
It's not an interview. We're just talking.
We're just talking. Okay. We're getting caught up with Mom.
Okay, caught up with Mom. Okay. All right.
For prosperity, Ma.
Or posterity. Or posterity as opposed to prosperity. We're somewhat prosperous, but you know,
this is for prosperity because I want this to be a prosperous thing later on. And when did you come to Canada, Toots?
August of 1965. I was 10 months old.
That was a
big decision for you.
Ten and a half months.
I didn't want to go to England.
Yeah.
The people aren't friendly. Cobblestones, fog, rain.
Gas lamps.
Do you still like England?
I do.
And then go back.
I like London. I love London. I actually love London. Mm-hmm. So what was I like as a child? I have no recollection.
No.
I actually have no memories of childhood.
I will
other
tell
than
you the recollection
like a
I have.
Spotty thing here, a little thing here.
What age do you start remembering from?
The age of six.
Wow. I go to three.
Oh, but actually, no. I should go back to four when I ran away from nursery school, like right over here in
Avenue
the city.
Avenue Road and...
Yeah. So I would have been four.
Spadina.
You just took off?
I took off.
He just took off.
Kid told me something I didn't like. It's really tells you a lot about my personality.
Yeah.
What did he tell you? Then too. I don't know what he said to me, but I didn't like it.
And I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. And I walked down the street, 4 years old, okay? Got on the subway alone.
And nobody stopped you. Nobody was like, hey, kid.
I saw this other mother with her child, and I kind of stayed close to them. Got on the subway at Spadina or DuPont. Right. DuPont Station.
Spadina. We were at Avenue Road and we were on Spadina.
It was Walmer Avenue, right?
Nursery school was on Spadina when you came and then you walked down to the Spadina subway.
It was Walmer Avenue
Spadina subway.
Okay. So I took the subway from there to Cumberland.
Yeah.
And got off.
Bay and Bel Air.
Yeah. Got off.
Is
there.
That where you guys lived then?
Yeah, we lived.
We lived there, but also Mom was working at Holt Renfrew.
And you knew that?
I knew that. We lived right across the street.
And you knew exactly how to get there?
Yeah.
How did you know that at four?
I don't know.
Because we
like you would remember the path or something?
We
used to take the subway a lot. We used to go to Honest Ed's in the subway.
Everything was by subway back then. So I kind of knew. Well, I obviously knew. And I found my way to the loading dock and asked for my mom and the security guy.
Then the manager of the, not the loading dock, he was in charge of the warehouse.
I can't tell you I'm laughing.
Why?
Because Mom's not talking into the microphone. She holds it away from her. But just now she held it to breathe it. So all I can hear is, and then she's rubbing her nose on it.
Then you know I'm alive.
I can hear all this and I'm like.
Then you know I'm alive.
Right. But at the wrong time, anyway, we're getting the wrong audio.
He called up the cash office and he told me there's a little boy here. He says he's your son. And I said, no, I just dropped my son to nursery school, so it can't be my son. Ask him his name. So he asked him his name and he said, my name is Clayton. I said, oh my God, what did I do now? So then I told my boss, I said, I dropped my son to nursery school and something's happened. He came, nobody's with him. So he said, okay, go. And I took him back to nursery school and I said to them, I said, did he not come to school today? And they said, no, nobody saw him coming to school. I said, well, I dropped him and he was inside the gate when I dropped him. And I said, he ran away from nursery school and took the subway to come home. After that week, that was the end of it. You never went back to that nursery school. Because one of the kids told him, we don't want to play with you, F off.
And I mean, that's that a pretty solid reason.
That night when he was sleeping and dad went to check on him, dad went to move him and he told dad, fuck off.
And dad went,
what? I said, I ran in the room. I said, well, what did he just say?
Say it again.
And I said, okay, when he wakes up in the morning, we won't say anything to him about it. We'll just stay quiet, which we did. We didn't tell him. He was so spontaneous with that. That got a shock because he was fast asleep.
But that whole thing I remember. I remember that clearly. I can remember being on the subway. I remember like walking and getting on the subway. And then I don't remember the rest of it, like when I got to mom's work. But I do remember everything leading up to that.
Now, this is 2 years prior to my entrance in the world.
Right. But then my next memory kicks in at 6 when we were living on Indian Road. We're the Indians on Indian Road. And then I remember I met Mark DeStacy and he yelled across the street to me and he was like, little boy, do you want to come play with me? And then that became like the first kid I remember.
And then my brother looked at him and said, fuck off.
I'm out of here.
You know, he never used that word.
Oh, you call him little boy.
He said, hey, boy? Little boy, do you want to come play? And I'm thinking, well, he's little boy too.
Yeah, so
then
cool.
I said, I said, you can go across and play. And then we became friends. And that's when she became your godmother.
Correct. She was a nice lady.
She was a very nice family, actually.
And Mr. DeStacy was cool, too.
Mm-hmm. The whole family was nice.
I always thought I was named after him.
No.
Because my middle name's Dominic. No. And he was Dominic.
He was Dominic, but not
me. I mean, he still is Dominic, isn't he?
I should think so. I don't think he would change his name at this stage. I don't even know if he's still alive. I haven't seen him.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So why is he Dominic then?
Because I wanted a girl and I wanted to call her Dominique. And your father said, oh, no, no, no. I said, okay, we'll call her Erica. And he said, no, 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 no. So then I said, okay, Dominic. And that left it. And then your grandfather made a vow to Saint Dominic.
Oh, that guy.
And then as soon as he was born, he went wherever he made the vow.
Which grandfather?
KK.
Oh.
No.
And then that's how he got the second name, Dominic.
How did you come up with Russell?
Oh.
They were looking through a bunch of papers.
No. I worked with this English lady, Pat, and I asked her to be godmother for Russell, for him. I said, for my baby. And she said, if it's a boy and you call him Russell, I'll be godmother. So I said, okay. But something came up, some emergency came up. She went back to England. She never came back. So I just stuck with the name Russell.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Clayton. Oh, I know Clayton. I know the backstory on
Clayton,
my name.
Clayton, Dad, you wanted.
Didn't you want
Clint Walker? Clint after you Clint want, Walker, the cowboy actor. But then Clint Walker was over 6 feet tall. And Dad surmised that I would not be that tall. So then he thought it would look weird that I would be named after Clint Walker and not be as tall as Clint Walker, who nobody remembers.
Yes.
And then they modified it to Clayton.
Clayton.
And then Edward, where did Edward come from?
Edward is grandfather.
Which one?
James Edward. Your daddy's dad.
Our grandfather,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At least I got named after some low-level saint.
Saint Dominic?
Yeah. It was a Saint Dominic, right?
Why you call him low-level saint?
I mean, he's not one of the better-known ones.
You don't know anything, to be quiet.
It's not like some high-ranking saints.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Let's not go there.
Okay. I got the discount one.
Okay. Okay. And brother was born here in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was born here.
In Mount Sinai
1970.
Hospital. Mount Sinai Hospital.
But Dad wanted a girl.
Dad wanted a girl badly.
So he was disappointed?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Here I am.
He was. He wouldn't come. He wouldn't answer the phone. And then I said, okay. Yeah, he was so, he just wouldn't talk when I told him. And then oh, when I guess, he came
they didn't,
in the evening.
They didn't tell you what you were getting back then, right? They didn't have that.
It was a surprise.
I didn't even want. I knew. I told him from the beginning. I said, it's another boy. And he said, I made it. I know. I said, I'm having it. I know. So when he came in the evening and they cleaned him up and he was all round face and pudgy looking and all, then I said to Dad, see. And then Dad looked at him and he said, I said, well, I can't put him back now. Well, then he was okay. Once he saw him, he was okay.
I feel great about this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was okay.
You know, mm-hmm. So I had to earn my dad's love.
What about Clayton? Clayton used to cry every time I went to babysit somebody's house. He used to cry and cry and cry. And Dad used to call me and say, can I bring this child over to you? He won't stop crying and I got to get up for work in the morning. So Dad would bring him over with the diapers and the bottle. And then he'd stay with me and he'd stop crying. And then all day long he would sleep. And all night long, he would make me walk up and down with him because he didn't want to sleep.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I still like have that. Separation anxiety, if that makes you feel any better. I still have that. I still get really freaked out when I say
that. And
bye.
Russell? Russell used to lie, when he used to wake up, he used to lie in his crib and he used to... And the moment he would see me, big smile on his face and he would be so happy. Yeah. He just had to see me and he would be so happy.
I was the happy kid,
When I would be cooking, I'd put him in his little lounger chair and whilst I'm cooking and he'd be there and he'd be looking at me and he'd be smiling and gurgling.
Was he a good baby?
Very good baby.
See?
Yeah, he let me
Loser.
Sleep at night.
I just didn't let you sleep at night. Was I a good baby?
You were a good baby in the daytime. You would sleep all day, but nighttime you were a bad baby because you kept me up. You wouldn't let me sleep. And I'd have to get up in the morning and make Dad sandwiches, make Dad go to work, then try to go back to sleep. Oh, it was terrible. I'd be so tired by the end of the day.
Paying off debt can be an uphill battle. It's an endless cycle of high interest rates and minimum monthly payments that can really wear you down. But luckily, Upstart gives you a way to get out of that. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan, and it's all done online. That means you won't have to sit across a desk from someone at the bank to get you a loan that you need. You can just do it right from your computer. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple, fixed monthly payment. And if you don't have an amazing credit score, just know that Upstart looks at more than that. You're more than just that score. They also take into consideration your income, employment history, and that means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. And you can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. So find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Peters. That's upstart.com/Peters. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Peters. Whenever my mom comes to visit, she always spoils me with the most delicious food. And now that she's back in Canada, I have to figure out a way to keep the good food coming around here. And that's where HelloFresh comes in. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. You can skip trips to the grocery store and make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. I have to say, what really works for me personally about HelloFresh is the flexibility. If I have to leave my house for 3 weeks so I can quarantine in Canada, for instance, HelloFresh makes it possible for me to skip the weeks I won't be home. And I can easily change delivery days to fit my schedule. Plus, I can customize orders so that if I know I have family or friends staying with me, I can change the serving sizes to accommodate more people. Or double up on my kids' favorite recipes to keep them happy. Trust me, kids are a pain in the HelloFresh. Just kidding. Also, the recipes are easy to follow and quick. They even include steps with pictures so that I can't mess it up. And trust me, I can mess up anything. Ever tell you about the time I had to bake a cake one time when I was about 12 years old? And it said 1 1/2 cups. And I read it as 11 and a half cups of milk. And yeah, I made basically a chocolate waterbed. Anyway, so it's very helpful with the pictures. So trust me, HelloFresh, that's your answer. So make your life a little easier and tastier. Go to HelloFresh.com/12Peters. That doesn't mean you have to type in Peters 12 times. It's the number 12, 12, Peters, and use the code 12Peters for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/12Peters and use promo code 12Peters for 12 free meals with free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Now, you never experienced much racism, did you?
No.
No.
Because you're very fair-skinned, that's why.
No, one lady in Simpson said to me, if you had such a good life in India, why don't you go back? Okay. And I said, I have a country to go back. Where would you go back? I came here by choice. You didn't come here by choice. Your parents came here, however they came. Don't tell me to go back. Then one English lady said to her, you don't own this country. Leave her alone. She can come here.
She Grace said that, Cole. That you She's, can come here?
Yeah. Grace Cole, she told this lady that she didn't own this country. Anybody can come here. Because Grace was an immigrant too. She was English. Sweet lady she was.
But yeah. Dad experienced racism,
though. Dad experienced it, yes.
I know I did.
I know I did too, but not until we moved to Brampton.
I never knew that it was...
In the city, nothing.
I don't know if mine was racism, but I remember getting scolded by that one babysitter, remember?
Here in the city or in Brampton?
On Norval Street.
On Norval.
There was one. I remember the house clearly. It had a fence in the...
Symes or something, their names
I don't know what they were. But
are those people the dog? Because there was that dog that bit me.
Yeah.
No, I remember it was like, I was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And I would be in the living room.
Four or five you were, because he used to bring you home from school and leave you there. Okay. Lunchtime.
Well, I remember being there and she was on the couch making out with her boyfriend.
Oh.
And I'd just be sitting there. So I'd be like looking at
them. And
she would
say, stop staring. So, you know, when that song came out about, I don't know who made it, Sunny or somebody said something. I used to think it used to say, I shot the sheriff. Oh. I thought it kept saying, I stop staring. Because he would tell
Yeah, she would always tell me, stop the staring. That's how I remember it. Stop
so
the staring.
I thought the sheriff was,
stop the staring.
And I felt very uncomfortable because I just felt like she was so shitty to me.
They were just shitty people.
Yeah, she was so shit to me.
But Dad experienced racism right from when he first came here.
Well, kind of. But you know Dad, how he was. He was very self-conscious about his color. And you know. And then they'd ask him, how come you speak such good English? Like as if to say, you've come from India. Mm-hmm. How come you shouldn't be speaking such good English? And he said, because you don't speak good English. That's why.
Told them.
Yeah, you let them have
no,
it.
No, Dad would say, we speak the Queen's English. We speak the Queen's English. And they ask him how he learned to speak English. He said, when we were coming over on the plane, we had this book and it was teaching us how to speak in English. So all through the trip, my wife and I were sitting with this book trying to learn how to speak English and then talk to people. That's how we learned English. Because they were so dumb, they couldn't figure out.
No. Just for the backstory for everybody, they spoke English first as their first language.
Yeah, I told them my first language is English.
I know, but so. I'm just letting the listeners know. So
yeah,
they don't think that you actually learned it on the flight over.
No. As Anglo-Indians, the first language in India was English in the house. Outside the house, it was always English first. And then
whatever local language they needed.
Hindi or Bengali second.
Mm-hmm. Or Marathi.
In Calcutta. Mm-hmm.
English is an international language anyway, so they can't. Some countries were asking to do away with it, mm-hmm. and they said, "How
do
could
away
we
with
do,
English?
How, yeah, how could we? How could we do? How could we communicate with you if we don't? If it's not in English, not everybody knows your language, so they just left it.
Interesting.
What kind of them?
Mm-hmm. if you go down south,
where your mouth is when you're not on the mic.
You hear them speak English with such an accent, you can't understand
them.
In
the States, you mean?
Hey, yeah.
No, down south in Kerala, in India.
Down south in India.
Well, yeah,
because we're talking about English spoken in the house.
Oh, okay, you're talking about India now. Okay.
But a lot of them didn't know how to speak English. Now, of course, a lot of them speak English.
Well, I think the thing there is that they're the most literate ones in India.
Yeah, 100% literacy.
That's but I don't know that to be true.
I don't know.
Because, excuse me, I have a lot of Malayali friends and their parents don't speak English.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm like, how is that 100% literacy rate?
No, literacy but, with but their own language.
Do.
Oh,
their children.
Maybe with their own language. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. No, their children are well educated though. So they speak a lot of English all the time. Telugu people, Tamil people, Malayalis, they all.
People.
They're all
people to me.
No way.
How can it be?
I didn't know that.
Didn't Courtney give you some guidelines or some guidance or something?
No, she just wants to. Now we want to get into our childhoods and stuff.
Okay.
So there I was, I was born a poor black child.
In your mind, you were born a poor black child.
Well, not in my mind, now in my mind, but not then. I grew into it. Well, I mean, from when we moved to Brampton, what was it, 75?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then the black kids were the only ones not picking on me, so that's why I hung out with them.
Yeah, but you also had the Tams down the street. They were Chinese.
Filipinos.
And there's Filipinos. There's the Perluses.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't until many years later.
No.
And it was like 10 years later. And you had the
Parises. Yeah, the Parises, Mark and Kirk. But that was interesting. Wasn't that funny? Like, they lived on our street, and...
Their father
was Anglo-Indian and their mother was from Denmark.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that their father worked in India with our grandfather.
Yeah.
In Bombshell.
Bombshell.
What is that?
Bombshell is...
Shell gas station. Oh, Shell. Okay.
Well, not the gas station.
I mean the gas company.
And my father was in the shipping department. Shipping.
And they knew each other. They're actually friends. They were like friends.
Mr. Paris was a witness for my father's wedding, second marriage.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, after he bounced.
Yeah.
He got married in India mm-hmm. the second time? Did he get divorced at least?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was never really clear on what happened to that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got divorced.
You never ever actually told me about my grandfather.
And then he moved to Australia.
He moved to England and then to Australia.
Oh.
And then what year did he leave India then?
Must be 64.
So right when Toots was born, did he meet Toots?
Yeah, he met him once only when he was a baby. He was passing by. He lived down the road from me, actually. He lived down the road from us.
But after your parents got divorced, you never, you were estranged from him, right? You didn't really know him. You didn't go see him. He didn't come visit you.
No,
you didn't
once,
keep in touch.
No, we would see each other in church or something like that. We would go to church and see each other, but that was it. And then I got married. I never invited him. Then when you were born, I didn't tell him. He found out from the newspaper.
Yeah, big headlines when I was born.
Mm-hmm. Big headlines.
That's big news.
Man, now look at you. You just got a big head.
Yeah. My mother put it in the paper because people.
So why didn't you tell him and why didn't you invite him?
Because he was estranged from us.
Okay. Yeah. See,
like I said, he was a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a dick. Mm-hmm. I remember he sent us all that stuff in like 77.
Yeah, you guys reconnected. After how many years did you reconnect?
I don't know how many years.
It must have been about 14, 15 years. 16 years, 10, 13 years.
10 years.
About 17 years, I think it was. 77? Yeah, about.
And how did you guys reconnect? What brother?
Through Auntie Anne. Auntie Anne gave him my address and said, oh, your father wants to write to you.
Oh, Auntie Anne is Darren's grandmother, right?
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So she connected you two, and then he sent us those boomerangs.
That's right.
T-shirts.
Which is ironic, because unlike him, they came back. And I remember he sent us that little koala bear with the wind-up thing in the belly. Yeah. But I remember how all that stuff smelled.
Yeah.
It's my thing. I remember things by smell.
That nose, man.
I know. Look at this thing. I mean, I really do. I remember the way Mr. Garbutt's house smelled. It had a very specific smell. It didn't stink. It was just a specific smell. And I remember how that koala bear smelled. I remember it going, what is this freaking weird smell this thing has?
She was podcasting Smell-O-Vision.
He sent you t-shirts from Australia, coasters.
Just in case we had a drinking problem at 7.
Yeah, he did.
Did he drink?
Occasionally. Yeah. He wasn't an alcoholic or nothing.
I didn't mean to. You know, just because you have a drink doesn't mean you're an alcoholic. I mean, I drink and I'm not an alcoholic.
That was a problem with the Anglo-Indian men. Mm-hmm.
Especially the railway people.
Well, I don't know about
railway,
that.
Railway men, the people that Anglo-Indians worked on the railway, they liked their drinks. Every night they had to have.
I remember Dad telling me, though, that after the partition, after 47, when the British left, that it was hard for Anglo-Indian men to get work. And so it was easier for the women to get work because they could get secretarial work. But for the men, there was really nothing to do. So they just sit around all day and kind of drink. And then alcoholism became a problem within the community.
I just want to say I don't have a problem.
I hope not.
My name is Russell. I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem, I swear.
Hi, Russell. Mm.
I know when Russell is drunk. He'll call me. Hi, Mom. Is Russell you're drunk? Just a little bit.
I do. I call Mom when I'm drunk. When I get drunk, not very often anymore, but when I do, it takes a lot now. So that's why I've even stopped. I'm like, stuff doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, I drank like three of them.
Now he smokes those funny looking, smelly looking things, you know?
Those cigars. Yeah.
I know what they are, but I have other things in my mind.
Huh?
Cigars. Ugh.
Oh. Horrible. Yeah, but you even said to me, I'd rather you sit there and smoke a cigar than drink some alcohol.
No, I'd rather you smoke a cigar than take drugs.
Well, I never did take drugs.
No, that's what I'm just saying.
I was never a
drug
guy.
I'd rather a person do that than do drugs.
Hey, Ma, do you remember this when I was like, I know you always deny this, but I remember it clearly. I must have been 19 or 20. And I said, hey, Ma, what if I date an Indian girl? And you go, yeah, that's fine. Just no bloody goings.
Did I say no goings?
You did. You did say
because
that.
Because they were very prejudiced against Anglo-Indians.
I don't know that to be true.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Maybe in India, not.
When she was getting married, the guy said to her, don't tell my parents that your mother's Anglo-Indian. She said, but why? I came from two parents. My father's going, my mother's Anglo-Indian. No, because, you know, they were that prejudiced. They didn't like her. They didn't like her. Even when he died, they didn't like her.
Maybe because he died.
They just didn't even
because she was Anglo-Indian?
Her.
Because she's half Anglo-Indian?
Yeah, because she's half Anglo-Indian.
That's so stupid.
That's very stupid. It's very stupid.
Yeah, very nobody stupid. Cares about that stuff.
In Goa now, the Goans are marrying Indian Christian girls, Hindu girls. The Goans are marrying.
The world has gone crazy.
What is it supposed to be?
Whatever you like, just go for it, man.
The old Goan people were very thing about you have to be Goan. You have to be Goan.
Makes no sense. Mm-hmm.
If you're coming, you got to be going.
You're coming and going. You're going to be coming in. Come in, going.
And then I remember like I dated a couple of going girls back then. I was like, I couldn't tell my mom.
No.
I wouldn't say dated. I mean.
You were coming and
he
going.
He was coming and going.
He was coming and going.
I sure was.
He was a going and coming and going.
Good times. Uh-huh. Good times. A lot of people are going to listen to this and go, is that really your mother you're talking like that in front of?
Yeah, we're pretty open with our mom.
Yeah, we're not a family, yeah, a family of secrets.
No. No, we're all
somebody
pretty open.
Said to me, when you go to Russell's show, how can you sit there and listen to him swearing and saying all those things? I said, well, that's fine. He can go on stage and he can do anything and say anything. When he comes home, he doesn't say and do those things. I said, that's what the people want. That's what they get.
I don't know that that's what they want, but...
That's what they get.
That's what they get. Definitely what's what they get. So, do you remember me dealing with a lot of racism when I was a kid, Mo?
No, I was shocked to hear that you guys...
How were you shocked? I would come home crying all the time. I got punched in the face.
I remember one time you came home from George Vanier's school and you were crying and I asked you what happened. You said, you're not going back to school. And I said, why? So because the kids called you Chocolate Face. And I said, now you'll go back to school, and if the kid calls you Chocolate Face, call him aside and say, do you eat chocolate? Do you like chocolate? And if he says yes, then why are you calling me Chocolate Face? You should like me. And then you
so then you get your ass whooped again.
No, and you went, that was good, you told him that.
Insult ever. Chocolate Face?
Yes, I call him Chocolate Face.
And that's when you came home.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
I remember Packy being thrown around a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate Face.
And then I remember when Billy Blackburn gave you a bloody nose.
Well, he didn't really give me a bloody nose. I ran into his fist.
I don't know what you did, but you gave him a bloody nose.
He was like, oh, come on, come on. And then he threw his fist out, and then I ran right into it because I'm an idiot. He was like, come on, stop chasing me. And he put his fist out. He didn't throw a punch. He put his fist out, and I ran right into it.
Why?
I don't know. I'm an idiot. Well, I mean, you know, you got in these little fights when you were kids.
You're such a chocolate face.
I know. Me and my chocolatey goodness.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Out of all the things that happened to me, traumatized me in my life, Mom remembers chocolate face.
Yeah, that I'll never forget one. That. How you came home crying saying that the child called you chocolate face. And then remember the time, Mr. Josephic, somebody was throwing snowballs at you? And he caught you throwing a snowball at the guy, and he called Daddy, and he said, he could have hurt that kid in the eye. I said to Daddy, go to school and confront Mr. Josephic. And Daddy asked him that, why did you pick on my son? Why didn't you see what the other boy did? He said, I saw what your son did. He said, yeah, but the other boy threw it at him first, so then he threw it back. And he was the fool that got caught. Now go tell that kid about it. Call his parents and tell them. He died, you know, Mr. Joseph.
Wow.
You can't confront him now.
To Mr. Josephic's family, we send our warmest regards and our condolences on his passing.
On his untimely passing, and my mom's even more untimely storytelling of his death.
No, he died a few years ago.
Wow. Wow.
No, but that's how I remember, like, you know.
Him dying.
No, I only heard that died a few years ago.
So I just took all this abuse by myself and didn't share it with nobody?
With me.
I would share it with my brother.
With me, and then I came to your aid as much as I could.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this the other day, and I still feel guilty. I think that's one of the reasons I'm so overprotective now, is because I still feel like I didn't protect you enough from that when you were a kid, because I know how it traumatized you.
Oh, it sure did.
And I know that, and people don't realize this when, you know, people, you know, there's sometimes people who are critical of your comedy or critical of the style of comedy that you do and about race and culture. And especially in the States where they've got all kinds of issues with it, where people don't realize that the racism you encountered at the ages of 4, 5, 6, in those really, really early years. And I have a 7-year-old son, so I can't even imagine.
Well, you got to understand, it was from 4 to 15.
Yeah.
It was 11 time. Years. Like, 11 years.
It was the defining element of your life that's where all of your exploration of race and culture, your exploration through comedy, trying to understand what the fuck happened to you during that time? Like, why? And people don't realize that. They just think you've sort of taken some, like, oh, I'm going to make fun of Indians or whatever. But really what you're doing is you're still coming to terms with the trauma that you dealt with at that time. And so one of the reasons that I'm still overprotective of you to this day is because I know what you went through. And there's a part of me that feels like I should have protected you more during that time. Although
you can only do so much.
Yeah, and you were out living your life. And that's the thing, though. People, weren't you there with them? But you were a very active child. Like, you were out playing. And those were in the days, and people now have a tough time understanding, because those were in the days where you could play outside until the lights came on.
Yeah.
And that's literally what you did.
Yeah, when did this wave of kidnappings and molestation start? Because I don't remember that when I was a kid.
It was there.
But it wasn't like now.
And even now, it's not as much as people think it is. They talk about it on, you know, about children being abducted and all this stuff. It's nowhere near the way it's perceived. It's maybe it's more reported because we live on a 24-hour news cycle now. But the actual, I read an article about this, the actual rate of these type of things happening is not as high as people would think it is based on the news reporting of it. So one of the reasons Dad moved out of the city too, aside from the fact that he got that job in Brampton, was because that shoeshine boy was killed. Remember?
Yeah,
Emmanuel Jacques. Right. And he kind of turned his back on Toronto at that time. And he said, you know, I'm done with the city. When that little kid was killed. And I think we'd already moved, but he said, I'm never going back to live in the city again after that. But yeah, so anyway, you were out a lot. So you were playing with your friends, you're riding your bike, you're playing with Marlon, you're playing with all those kids on the street. that accepted you. And I was 6 years older, so I was also at a different stage in my life too.
When you were always in the house, in your room, reading or drawing.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we moved to Brampton, when we moved to Brampton and we started to experience that racism, and it was also, I was 11, 12 years old. So that's also a formative age too. And you're being told that you're different all of a sudden. And you're like, well, in the city, we weren't different. Now all of a sudden I'm different. Plus you're going through puberty and adolescence and all that
stuff. And the funny thing in the city, it wasn't like it was this big melting pot in the city back then either.
Do you remember that lady on Indian Road?
You?
that had that boy who called him Paki and told him, and his mother said, y'all should go back where you came from. And daddy went over.
But Indian Road was like 1970.
No. He called you Paki. He called you Paki.
And he called brother. You looked at me and said.
And then daddy went over to her. Mm-hmm. And told her, how dare you? He told the boy, he said, don't you ever dare call me. And she came out and she started fighting with daddy and said, you people should go back. And when daddy started talking and he let her have it and he told her, he said, the cream of the crop comes here to Canada, not the scum. So take a look.
Can you stop?
After that, those girls never spoke to anybody. Oh. They were always in their house.
And I don't remember.
Ronnie, his name was Ronnie, the little boy.
Okay.
I remember his name. I don't know what his
Ronnie
name
Cox.
Was.
To Mom's point about me staying in, I mean, that was true. I was a quiet, lonely, loner child. I was an artist. I used to draw. And
I'm the artistic one out of the two of us.
That's what his art teacher wanted us to pursue him with his art. But he didn't want to.
Well, I don't know about that.
I remember you drawing a lot.
I did.
And I remember the drawings being really good.
Yeah.
I remember how many times you used to write aliens, though.
Oh, because of the style of the font from the comic book.
You were obsessed with the A.
Yeah, it was that A that
with
went
the
like
extended
that.
Piece on it.
Yeah, it went straight up, came down, and then it didn't attach to the other vertical. I found it quite fascinating.
Yes, I remember you drawing it all the time.
It was. Oh, and also because within the comic book, they incorporated all the images of the aliens, all of Geiger's aliens. Nerd alert! And so I was quite fascinated by that. Yeah. So
most of the comic book kids knew how to draw really well, I find.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Spinbad was a really good artist. Remember Spinbad drew so well.
He was amazing.
Wasn't he a comic book kid too?
I think so. I mean, a lot of guys who grew up in the 70s and the 80s, the comic books were huge. There was a huge boom of them.
I remember them. I just never got into them.
In the 70s, there was a huge, huge boom in comic books. And like the racks at like W.H. Smith at the mall, like it was like the thing. And it was right around the time Star Wars and all that stuff. All of that stuff that really permeates pop culture now all came out.
I remember
that
you drawing
time.
Space 1999 as well.
Still fixated on Space 1999.
Yeah, the way you were drawn, I was like, wow, it looks exactly like the poster.
Yeah, to this day, I'm still fixated on that show.
What did you draw?
Nothing.
Yeah, what did you draw?
I'm horrible. I was horrible with it. I couldn't draw shit. Couldn't draw anything.
So you went out to play with all your friends and I stayed in alone.
I went and worked on my personality.
If you had to withdraw, you would have been okay.
Pull out.
Oh.
Your withdrawal game is weak, apparently.
My withdrawal. My deposit game's on point. Anyway, this was interesting, and it never really accomplished much, but you know, this kind of gives you an insight as to what my mom, my brother, and myself are like together. It doesn't get any more interesting than this, which is sad, really.
Well, no, I think we talk more than most.
I know I ask a lot of questions because I'm like, there's a lot of questions that I have that only Dad could have answered. And I'm like, damn it, I should have asked it then.
Like
Dad,
what?
I don't know, just stuff about the family back, you know. And I remember Dad always telling me, you should ask me any questions you want to ask me now while I'm here. Yeah. And I never really understood that.
But
he was very much aware of his mortality.
Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up.
Anything else? No, hang on. Is there anything else you wanted to talk to Mom about?
Let's talk about how I'm your favorite child.
It's true.
No, it's not. Kate always thinks he's number two child,
I'm
not
number
three.
One. Never mind.
Who's three?
I'm number
That's
three.
That's the joke, Ma.
That's the joke.
Is that he's number three.
I'm not even first. I'm not even second.
Don't hold it up like a chalice. Hold it up.
Or a phallus. Yeah, I'm number three. Mm-hmm. I'm third choice.
That's the joke, is that I'm number one, then there's... You skipped number two.
I lost number two, so you would be number three, yeah.
Oh. Wow.
And there you have it, folks. If anyone knows a good shrink,
Good times. Anyway, thanks to my mom and my brother, Mo and Toots.
Thanks, Toots.
This was
a memorable moment.
Yes, that's what it was.
It's something we'll enjoy listening to.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably more for us than it is for you, but if you enjoy it, let us know. And if you didn't, we're aware of that.
We know where the holes are.
We know. Yeah. We don't think this is a phenomenal episode, no. But it was good for us. It was very cathartic. And thanks for listening to Culturally Canceled with me, Russell Peters. And with that, I bid you adieu. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and the ambiance as you imagined it to be in your mind. If you like the podcast, be sure to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts so more people can find out about it. If you didn't like it, go to hell. We don't need you. And follow us on Instagram at culturallycanceled and culturallyrp on Twitter. We're also on YouTube if you're more of a watching type. And if you want to see me live, I'm coming to the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska, May 6th to May 8th. The Improv in Chicago, a.k.a. the Schomburg Improv, from May 20th to May 22nd. The Irvine Improv in California, from June 10th to June 13th. Go to russellpeters.com to get tickets and more info. And I will see you when I see you.